Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Thursday, November 19, 2020. A vocal member of the SPLM-IO challenges South Sudan's first vice president.
Those who refuse or who don't want to criticize Duterte are position seekers, because if they criticize him, they don't get their positions. And someone who is only for the strength and success of the SPLM-IO, who is not after position, must criticize Duterte, and I'm doing it now.
And doctors in South Sudan welcome the news of COVID-19 vaccine.
We would like to have a share of that, because we have got also a significant number of people living with chronic conditions that can just be enough to make you succumb to COVID-19.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition has experienced defections by some of its senior members for 2 weeks in a row. Two other senior members of the SPLM-IO resigned on Wednesday, raising questions about the cause of the political instability within the opposition group. But one senior member of the SPLM-IO Liberation Council says he will fight for change from within. Duer Tut Duer says the leader of the SPLM-IO, First Vice President Riek Machar, does not listen to members of his group who are calling for change. He says the SPLM-IO leader has committed several political miscalculations that frustrated senior members of the group.
So one of the mistakes that Riek want to call this meeting for us to transition from armed movement to a political party. And in fact, all fighting force of the SPLM-IO is still in the bush. How are you going to do this? Well, we are supposed to finish the security arrangement first. All those fighting force are incorporated or are integrated in South Sudanese army. And then after that, we can now transform our movement into a political party.
You seem to be raising a lot of issues that are supposed to have been discussed with Dr. Riek Machar on face-to-face basis. Have you made any attempts to meet him?
No, in Juba, I have only sent him a letter just to explain to him that the decision he wanted to take for the conference was not just because of 1-2-3. And now I saw another letter. He wrote another letter and he added another category of delegates to the conference. The categories he left out in the first table.
Someone listening to me and you right now would say you're a senior member of the SPLM-IO Liberation Council. Why can't you iron these issues with Dr. Riek Machar in person instead of posting letters on the social media?
If he was to listen, we couldn't even reach here. And this is the reason why, in fact, you hear always people resigning from SPLM-IO, people defecting from the SPLM-IO and joining government. It's because of this. So we need to ask ourselves why people are defecting every now and then from the SPLM-IO. Who will differ with me if I said now that the SPLM-IO of 2014 was stronger than the one of 2015? And the one of 2015 was stronger than the one of 2016. After one of 2019 was more stronger than the one of 2020. And what is the reason? It's because every now and then we hear people leaving the SPLM-IO and joining other organizations or joining the government. And we should ask ourselves the question, why people are going out of the SPLM-IO?
I might have an answer for you. A lot of people who have left the SPLM-IO who spoke to us appear to be complaining that they were not given any ministerial position. So it's all about position.
No. In fact, there are people who have defected before that. I agree with you, yes. Those who defected, who went to Juba with Dr. Riek and defected, after the formation of the government. Yes, it's because of that. And this is what is going to happen soon. Because soon, or in the beginning of 2021, they will form the state governments. Many people are going also to defect. These are position seekers. I don't talk about them. But there are other people who defect from the SPLM-IO simply because they see there are things which are not going well and Dectariat doesn't care of those concerns.
How would you react to recent accusations made by the former SPLM-IO Secretary General Peter Tingo, who threw his arms in the air and accused Machar of being a dictator?
In fact, I will agree with Tingo that Dectariat was a dictator. But who made Dectariat to be dictator? In fact, Dectariat has a person. He's not dictator. But those who are around him make him to be dictator because we know Dectariat is someone that doesn't need advice. He wants you only to say, we are going very well, everything is perfect, you are doing good, even if things are not good. When you do that, you will get your position. But if you want the SPLM-IO to be strong, to go on the right direction, you want to advise Dectariat, Dectariat become your enemy.
The people of South Sudan have been promised by several other groups, including the SPLM-IO, that you are struggling for democracy, rule of law, reforms, freedom of speech, and the list is endless, but your actions don't reflect those ideals. What is your comment on that?
And in fact, this is the reason why I'm fighting my chairman from within, because I want this SPLM-IO to go according to its basic documents, its objectives, values, and principles. At least now, the majority of the SPLM-IO have understood that there's a problem and this problem needs to be resolved. Secondly, in general, people of SPLM-IO see Dectariat as someone that cannot be criticized, as someone who is always correct, even when he's not correct. Now, everybody who sees that there's something wrong is start to say. So we open.
Why are members of the SPLM afraid to tell Dr. Riek Machar right in his face that some of his decisions are not right? Why are you afraid to tackle him head on?
Because those who refuse or who don't want to criticize Dictariat are position seekers. Because if they criticize him, they don't get their positions. And someone who is only for the strengths and success of the SPLM-IO, who is not after position, must criticize Dectariat, and I'm doing it now.
That's Dwer Tut Dwer, member of the SPLM-IO Liberation Council. He spoke with me on Wednesday from undisclosed location in Upper Nile State. In the second part of this interview, Dwer talks about the future of SPLM-IO under the leadership of the first Vice President, Riek Machar. The Ethiopian government has dismissed rumors originating from a South Sudanese activist who claimed Ethiopia is considering pulling out its forces from the UN peacekeeping operations in South Sudan and Abyei. For VOA News, Onan Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Edmond Yakani, Executive Director for Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, OSEPO, told reporters yesterday his group learned from unnamed sources within an advocacy group which took part in the revitalized peace agreement that talks are reportedly underway for Ethiopia to recall its peacekeeping force from South Sudan.
Any attempt to reduce or withdraw Ethiopian troops that were peacekeepers in South Sudan under UNMISS or MUNISFA will be an act of undermining protection of civilians and peacekeeping mission under the UN Charter.
Speaking exclusively to South Sudan in Focus this afternoon, Deputy Head of Mission of the Federal Republic of Ethiopia in Juba, Zelalem Biram, refuted the rumors.
That's an unfounded story. I'm not aware of any discussion, and I'm sure the government will continue to involve in the peacekeeping operations here, so our forces will stay here.
David Shearer, the special representative of the UN Secretary General in South Sudan, also denied Ethiopian troops are making plans to pull out of the UN mission in South Sudan.
Ethiopian peacekeepers serving with the United Nations mission in South Sudan are continuing to carry out their normal duties. Decisions about deployments to peacekeeping missions are made by troop contributing countries in coordination with the UN Department of Peace Operations in New York. UNMISS has not been notified of any change to the deployment of Ethiopian troops in South Sudan.
Rajab Mohandis, executive director of the Organization for Responsive Governance, says in the event UNMISS reduces the number of its peacekeepers, the people of South Sudan will feel the impact.
It brings to question our ability to exist as an independent state without being strongly supported from the region and the wider international community. If we do not restore peace and stability, the challenge we should expect that the forces in the country at the moment and even the entire peacekeeping mission is not going to remain there forever.
Mohandis says that the time will come when peacekeepers are needed elsewhere. UNMISS has about 19,000 uniformed and civilian peacekeepers in South Sudan. Ethiopia contributes the largest number of troops to the country. Advocate Rich Malwal, who doubles as executive director for the local organization, a screen of rights and chairperson of the Coalition of Public Interest Litigant in South Sudan, says if Ethiopia pulls out of UNMISS, other countries will fill the gap.
The United Nations has all the privileges of contacting any other peaceful country and be able to provide protection from that specific country, be it in Europe or within Africa. So I believe Ethiopia so far, they are not even willing to have a peace talk by themselves, and that is a clear detail that they will not be able to provide peace or protect any civilian population in any other country.
Malwal says the UN Security Council has the final say on the affairs of UNMISS.
Ethiopia will have to understand that how urgent they might need the forces to be withdrawn, it will not be possible to do so within the period of time that they would wish to do so. So the UN will give it due considerable time to think about it and see the replacement, and I believe it will not materialize as soon as possible.
Ethiopian government and regional forces within Ethiopia's Tigray region have been fighting for nearly 3 weeks. Hundreds of people have been reported killed. The UN Refugee Agency reports that more than 30,000 civilians from Ethiopia's Tigray region have fled to neighboring Sudan. For VOA News, I am Onel Walter Solomon in Juba.
Authorities in Western Equatoria State have signed a memorandum of understanding with a private company to construct feeder roads, upgrade Yambio airstrip, and build another state government headquarters. For VOA News, Siba Martin Morangi reports from Juba.
William Adriano Baikid, executive director in Western Equatoria State Governor Alfred Futio's office, says the project will provide jobs to local citizens.
Within that MOU, we have the local recruitment, which will be 70% and 30% will go to those who are implementing the project from the international company. Those from the state will actually benefit from the company itself.
Baiki says Tofad will build several feeder roads in the state.
We have a 100-kilometer road construction from Yambia to Meridi, Yambia Gangura, Yambia to Ringasi. And number two is the airstrip. Number three is rehabilitation of the state secretariat. Number four is to build the state house. And number five will be to build state headquarters.
Baiki says authorities in Western Equatoria are optimistic that Tofad will complete all of the projects on time as agreed in the Memorandum of Understanding. Dr. Ambrose Magaya, a member of the National Dialogue Steering Secretariat and a citizen of Western Equatoria, says the project will help develop the state.
Everything that can come as an investment to the state is a good thing, especially if it can contribute to the development of the area. We are really an agriculture area. We need a lot of infrastructure to help us get our product to the market.
Magaya says Western Equatoria is primarily an agriculture area, which requires better roads and more airstrips to link all of the state's counties so that farmers can transport their produce to the markets, not only across the state but across the country.
We need a lot of airports in the state because the state is very vast. And if we need to develop the state in terms of infrastructure, we need to make sure that we have airstrip all across the state from Mundi, Meridi, Yambio, Tambora, so that we can be able to be connected to the business area. Well, the people of Western Equatoria will really emerge, and then it will help also South Sudan in general. In order to promote agriculture, we need the basic infrastructure.
Western Equatoria youth Toby Adams says the initiative will create jobs for many unemployed young people who have no income.
We, as the youth of Western Equatoria State, we really welcome this project and we welcome this initiative. At least our humble request as the youth of Western Equatoria is let more chances be given to the youth, more especially from the ground here.
Baiki says the state government will pay for the project using non-oil revenue collected within the state. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murangi in Juba.
Health officials in South Sudan say they are keeping a close eye on the new COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Mayen Machut Achek, Undersecretary in the Ministry of Health, says his office will work with health partners like World Health Organization to help get the vaccine. WHO's Country Preparedness and International Health Regulation Officer says the development of the vaccine is, quote, good news to the world held captive by the COVID-19 pandemic. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
A final analysis of the phase 3 trial of U.S. pharmaceutical Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine shows it was 95% effective in preventing infections and cause no serious safety concerns, the company said on Wednesday. Efficacy was consistent across age, race, and ethnicity demographics. The observed efficacy in adults over 65 years of age was over 94%, Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech said in a joint statement. Dr. Mayen Machut Achek, Undersecretary in South Sudan's Health Ministry, says South Sudan is working with its partners to secure the vaccine as soon as it reaches the market.
We would like to have a share of that because we have got also a significant number of people living with chronic conditions that can just be enough to make you succumb to COVID-19. So definitely will be also we're going to be asking WHO and our partners so that we also get the benefit for our citizens of this new vaccine.
Joseph Wamala, the WHO's Country Preparedness and International Health Regulation Officer, calls the Pfizer development good news.
The protection is achieved within 28 days of the initial vaccination. Two doses are required, and there are no serious side effects currently. These are like largely preliminary results. WHO on its part welcomes and encourages, welcomes this encouraging news.
Pfizer and BioNTech carried out phase 3 clinical trials of the vaccine from July through November 13th on more than 43,000 participants. More than 40,000 of them were given a second dose of the vaccine. The study shows that 42% of global participants and 30% of U.S. participants have racially and ethnically diverse backgrounds. 41% of the global participants and 45% of U.S. participants are between 56 and 85 years old. The drug companies say 50 million doses of the vaccine will be produced by the end of the year, and they hope to produce up to 1.3 billion doses by the end of 2021. American biotech company Moderna also announced nearly 95% efficacy in its experimental vaccine against the disease this week, while Pfizer and Moderna paved the way for a COVID-19 vaccine. Other companies like Oxford and Sputnik are also working on a vaccine for the disease. Wamala says it will take time for the first doses to arrive in South Sudan and advise South Sudanese to continue practicing social distancing and wearing face masks in the meantime.
Mask wearing, physical distancing, and frequent hand washing constitute the new normal. So people should avoid crowded places with many people.
3,037 people have been confirmed positive of coronavirus since the outbreak of the pandemic in South Sudan, according to the latest figures from the country's health ministry. 2,897 people have recovered. 59 people have died from COVID-19. The health ministry says 52,361 people have been tested. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a billionaire preacher is arrested in Southern Africa. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite meal?
I like chips and anything braai, whether chicken or beef.
My favorite meal is our fish, mainly jambo, and local vegetables like nkwani.
I love chapati. Like, I don't know why I love chapati, but I just love chapati. There's no reason for loving it. Like, chapati every day.
My favorite meal is jollof and rice with chicken. That will be best for me.
My favorite food, matoke, that is banana and beans. Banana and beans, yes.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The self-proclaimed prophet and church leader, Shepherd Bushiri, has surrendered himself to the police in Malawi, where he and his wife had fled. Bushiri is wanted on charges of theft and money laundering in South Africa. For VOA News, Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Bushiri and his wife Mary fled from South Africa to Malawi last week, violating bail conditions that were set after he was arrested in connection with a multi-million dollar money laundering case. Bushiri turned himself in to police Wednesday in Lilongwe. Police spokesperson James Kadadzela said the arrest was in response to a warrant of arrest issued by the International Police Organization, Interpol.
And it actually stated that the two are on trial in South Africa and are believed to have absconded their bail conditions. So we launched a manhunt yesterday, and we are sure that the couple got wind of the news that the police are looking for them. And we have them in our custody.
Kadadzela said police were taking statements from the couple, but did not know when they would appear before the court. Bushiri is a self-proclaimed prophet and leader of his Enlightened Christian Church Gathering, which claims over 70 branches worldwide. In South Africa, he and his wife and two others are accused of stealing $6.6 million through theft, money laundering, and fraud. A spokesperson for Bushiri, Ephraim Nyondo, explained the reason Bushiri fled to Malawi. He says what the prophet wants is to have a fair trial in South Africa. There hasn't been an indication of him having a fair trial there. Bushiri's escape coincided with President Lazarus Chakwera's official visit to South Africa last week, which fueled suspicions that the president was part of Bushiri's exit plan. This led to a diplomatic spat when Chakwera's flight was detained at Watercroft Air Force Base on Friday, the same day the fugitives failed to report on police bail. Sherif Kais is a political science lecturer at Blantyre University. He told VOA that Bushiri's arrest should end the diplomatic spat.
We should not spoil that which is big because of just a single person, because Malawi is not going to benefit anything by protecting, for example, an individual and putting the whole system of the country in jeopardy.
Meanwhile, a rights group, the Malawi Black Economic Empowerment Movement, said Wednesday that Malawi should not extradite Bushiri and his wife back to South Africa unless the government ensures they will receive a fair trial. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Yala Kitautu by Victoria Ole and Kasang Dedi.
Yala Kitautu, Kitautu, Kelly ni najere, yala ni najere, yala yala. Kelly ni najere, yala ni najere, yala yala. Oh yala yala. Yala yala. Afa asalam, yala asalam, yala yala. Yala ya Sudan, yala ya Sudan.
We've been listening to Victoria Ole and Kasang Dedi with the song Yala Kitautu. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your house. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Yala.
أكثر من 20 سنة ناس موتوا كتير دم كوبوا كتير أولادنا أبوهاتنا أخواننا.